people go through different milestones in transition of their lives. Jim, who just read the scripture here, retired on Friday. So if you see him after church here, give him a big hug and congratulate him. So we're happy for him and his family and God doing good things through his life. It's the gas company's loss, see? And he's hiding somewhere now. I hope he comes in here. Well, a man named Maurice Wood came up with a phrase. It's the title of the sermon today, Evangelize or Fossilize. And he wrote it in a book called Like a Mighty Army. That was his opinion of you all, Like a Mighty Army. And that phrase is taken out of the hymn, Onward, Christian Soldiers. The point of his whole book was to say that God is doing great things through Christians to take Christ to other people. And I think he wants to give that passion and heartbeat of his shared with you, passed on to other people, that you would see yourself as a wonderful ambassador of Christ. And some things in the Bible that helps us get that accomplished. But you're a part of a great stream of communication that God sends out. We do appreciate those who bring news, I think, in our world. We rely on them, newspaper, people on the television, broadcasters, radio. And sometimes we look at them and say, wow, what great influence they have, you know, talking to all those people and bringing what they think is important right into your living room or your car or wherever you get your news. But the Lord's, and there are thousands of reporters who do that. From God's perspective, however, He brings news every day through millions and maybe a billion children of His to other people. You're the news bringers, really, from God's point of view. And the news that you bring is good news about God, how He helps in life, how He brings salvation. So if you ever thought of yourself as being an important news person, you are, according to Christ. You'll see in the scripture a little bit later. As we pass on good news, that's the word. What the word evangelize means. We're really living out who God made us to be. When we don't do that, we get very unhealthy. And Mr. Woods said that we fossilize. You look at a fossil, you know, well, I know what it might have looked like if it had some life in it, you know. And so we get like that when we don't see ourselves as passing on the good news of Christ to others. If the Christian life was represented by three tripods, or one tripod, three legs of a tripod, one would be worship, good leg to put into practice. One is fellowship, being with other believers. The third is evangelism, or passing on Christ to others. And most of us are perceive ourselves as weak on that third leg. So we're out of balance, and we fall over, and we fossilize. That can happen to any of us. There's a restaurant in the Oakland section of Pittsburgh that was formerly a church. It was a church building, and it became a restaurant and a dance place. It's across the street from where I asked my wife to marry me. She said yes. And but the building, which was once a church, became, you know, not a place to come and worship, a place to come and eat and dance. Nothing wrong with eating and dancing. But it gives the message of what happens to a group of people who do not see themselves as passing on the good news of Christ. You know, and this probably wouldn't make a good restaurant. And so with Christ in our hearts, we pass on the good news of Him to others. And the church itself, always just a generation away from, you know, being a restaurant, you might say. So that's the call of God. Evangelize, don't fossilize. And so how does that get done? Well, the first truth I think the Lord would give to change our hearts is to know this. You bring Christ to others simply by being who you are in Him. And don't underestimate this part, please, of the message of the Scriptures. You bring Christ to others simply by being who you are in Him. Because who you are as a Christian is much more important, are you ready for this, than what you do. Because what you do will not get you to heaven. What you do is not the power by itself to give Christ to another person. It's who God has made you to be with Him. Your identity is with Christ, not with the activities that you do. You could fill up your pockets with 100 gospel tracts and carry around 42 Bibles ready to pass out to people. And God may use that method. But it's who you are as a Christian that is much more important than what you do in passing on the news to Christ. I saw that rather early in my Christian life, influenced by a teacher in school. He was a gym teacher. He was my track coach, Mr. Butler. He was very on the ball. He made us run very heartily and try to do the best we could in track. He had high standards of sportsmanship. He never cussed at anybody when he lost his cool and all that. One day he comes into the track practice and passes out these forms for a race on behalf of, I think it might have been leukemia or some disease. He said, this is going on Sunday. You guys can run in this if you like and, you know, help people who are hurting in that manner. And he went on to say, do it after you go to church, or if your church is late, you might go to the race and God will forgive you anyway because you're helping people. And so I'm putting two and two together, and I'm thinking, now, I know why Mr. Butler is the way he is, because obviously Christ is most important to him. I saw that in his life long before he said anything. And he was a message from God to me. The Bible says, you are a letter from Christ. You're the daily edition of the news. More important than the Tribune or the Post-Gazette. You're the letter from Christ written by the Spirit of the living God. Wow. That's a blessing God does for us. I ran into Mr. Butler years later. I thanked him for being a good witness for the Lord. Of course, if you and I are in friendship with Christ, we're more readily to pass him on to others because he does mean a lot to us on a daily basis. If we're ignoring our friend Jesus, we're not following our Lord Jesus, we'll be less likely to be a clear letter from God. People will misread our lives. They might think we're either hypocritical or perhaps not a believer at all. Okay. But God says, if you know Christ, you're a letter from Christ. Who you are, much more important than what you do. The Greek people were all into oratory, communication. They said there are three keys in communication. They said content. What's the guy talking about? Passion. Is the person excited or not? But they said the most important thing when any communication was happening, your life to another, is the character of the person. Is there a sense where who they are is a part of that message? So you're a letter from Christ. God is shining through you. Paul said you're the aroma of Christ. One fellow who was another pastor in another church, he used to slap on the aftershave pretty heavily. And if he'd walk through the hallway and you hadn't seen him for a half an hour, you'd know, oh, so-and-so's been here. And the Bible says your life is the impact of your life is like that. You're the aroma of Christ. Something God's important to people because look at your life. That's a tremendous truth that helps you evangelize, not fossilize. The second truth is this: bringing Christ to others brings no greater joy in life than doing that. Great part of joy. I heard a testimony of a 17-year-old say this: I received Christ and I'm following Him, but pretty much the only reason I'm here on earth is to pass Christ on to others. He realized at a young age that he could worship God. That was so special, he'd be worshiping God forever on earth and the future in heaven. Fellowship's important. He'd be fellowshipping on earth. He'd fellowship forever in heaven. But to pass on Christ to others, he only had a short time to do that. So that's the sense of urgency you and I have. We have no greater joy when we do that. A Baptist missionary said, there's no greater joy than seeing a person come to Christ. If that's happened to one of your loved ones, you know, your child all of a sudden has an interest in God and wants to know God. Boy, what joy that brings to your heart. I get to talk to a lot of parents. And they share hopes and dreams for their children. And all the children get nervous when we talk about them in the service. And some parents say, well, I want my child to get a good job. If they get a good job, I'll be happy. I'll feel like I'm a good parent. Others will say, get a good education. That'll really take you to, you know, places, open doors. But most parents, when they're real open-hearted, they say this, more than anything else, I want my children to know Christ and follow Him. That's when I know it'll be well with their soul. Who's going to be a friend of them except Jesus every day? So you want that for your children? No greater joy than knowing that's happening. The Apostle John felt that way about other Christians. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. Would you feel that way about other people around you, other young people? Or you want the young person across the street to get a job so they stop bothering you. But do you want them to meet Christ so that their life today and forever knows God's blessing? That's a joy God would give you. Have that in your heart. Feel that call in your life. It is a true call from God. The third truth that the Scripture tells us about the ones read is this. You do have a hidden passion to bring Christ to as many as possible. I think that's the hidden passion for every believer, whether you can verbalize it or not. Everybody who I've ever known who knew Christ in their heart wanted, in some direct manner, to pass Him on to others. That was in them. It was in me as a quiet 16-year-older. That was in Paul's heart. The same Holy Spirit in Paul is in you. Paul said this about his life. He said, I'll be a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. He went on to say, by all means, that I might save some. In other words, he wanted to see people meet Christ, know Christ's goodness. Could you imagine what your life is like if you went out this week and said, my goal is to serve as many people as possible, just be that person who loves their neighbor as their self, so that Christ could be passed on to them. What a motivation. We saw some missionaries on the screen up here. Your motivation is just as high as theirs. You got a God-given, albeit hidden, passion to pass Christ on to others. I don't think you would be in worship if that was not the case in your heart, unless God would reveal otherwise. So that's a hidden passion from God to you. When my older brother got his first bicycle, he was all excited. It was a Firestone bicycle. I don't know if they still make those. But he would ride it around and experience that happiness. But he would really be passionate about his bike when he got to show others. Look at my bike. There's Firestone written right on it. He'd sing that old song, the name that's known as Firestone. And I was extremely jealous. But he had that. And the natural thing was to, I just tell what's important to me. I just share what's important to me. And to see yourself that way, God sees you that way. If you're any other way in your heart, you simply say, Lord, I realize I'm totally out of balance in my Christian life. I concentrate on worship so much and fellowship so much. And as we do that, we give ourselves headaches because we don't pass on what Christ has given. We become out of balance. And if you don't sense that inner passion whatsoever, you can say, Lord, just check my heart. Are you really there that I might, you know, pass you on to somebody else? That's an opportunity to hear Jesus knocking on the door of your heart, saying, if you open the door, I'll come in and eat with you. You'll be with me. And soon around that sense of fellowship, it won't just be you and Jesus, you and Jesus. That's all you're concerned about, you and Jesus. Now you're concerned about other people. Your life, just like Bruce and Paula's song, they sang the passage today. Lord, take my ears and let me hear and see what you see and be what you're making me to be. an ambassador of yours. And what greater privilege you would have in life than being a part of that. God is using you and working in you more than you think or imagine. So trust in Him to keep working that way. Let's pray and ask Him to follow in that path. Lord, thank You for coming into our lives because You knocked on the door of our hearts. And now we just want to bring You to others in some manner. Keep us aware, Father. It's who You are, who You made us to be as Your children that will help us walk in this path and be faithful. Always teach us, Lord, in our relationship with You that who we are and the depths of our soul is so much more important than what we do in those particulars. What we do doesn't make us who we are. If that were the case, we'd still all be hell-bound sinners. What we do shows that we fall short. But who You made us to be shows us we belong to You and therefore can walk in Your ways. I pray for an awareness, Lord, of the mission You send each one of us on. The same calling that came to Bob and Joy Brocker and Valerie Stelrick comes to each heart. Some will go to neighborhoods that none would ever go to, schools and classrooms, and just be a Christian in that context. You shine brightly through them. And Father, give us a heart for Yourself. If we don't have it, to receive You today and say, I want to pass on Christ because I sense my own desperate need for salvation. So I receive Him that I might pass Him on. Let Your Holy Spirit bring new birth to every heart here and everyone who has that need. Thank You that we could love to tell the story which we're about to sing about. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.